We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ah, yes, pause for applause there, but I guess it's over. So, indeed, yes, today, absolutely, we're going to be talking recipe swaps and flour arranging. Or, if you insist, we can talk about the Mueller report. We could do that. Yes, indeed, E307 on this Friday afternoon. Delighted to be with you here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, also 106.3WORD.com. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Well, it's out. And we will try at times this afternoon to show a little empathy for our good friends in the Democrat Party, because these are not good times for them. And, in fact, I'm not just sure where they're going with all of this. no crime, okay? We're hearing a lot of grousing about, well, it was certainly not nice. It was nasty. It was immoral. Whatever. That's their opinion. Remember, this whole thing was the work of a prosecutor. And a prosecutor is not God. A prosecutor is not the nation's morality police. A prosecutor is a person who does have some special powers as they relate to violations of the law. Not just any law, as a matter of fact. In this case, since this jurisdiction is federal, it would be federal law. For example, I could have presented Robert Mueller with proof that Donald Trump owed 100 parking tickets in New York City. That's not his province. That's local law. His whole area, his whole arena was federal law violations. And let's see, and the total score is, that would be Trump, a gazillion, and Trump haters, zero. No law violations. Oh, all kinds of almost stuff. And the Democrats are really thrashing around. Now, of course, we have this subpoena that is being issued. We want the whole report. We want it now. We want every comma, every semicolon, we want it now, all of it. Well, they'll be thrashing around, and there'll be tons of subpoenas, and there'll be hearings galore. Oh, hearings like you wouldn't believe. There will be outrage, lots of outrage. And I don't really care. Again, keep in mind, this was a prosecutor, and despite how much he may think he was God, and especially how much a lot of other people think that he's God. No, he has a specific arena. Violations of federal law. There aren't any. Oh, that's not the end of it. Ought to be, but it's not the end of it, no. But it's going to be fun to watch the resulting sound and fury signifying nothing, as Shakespeare would have put it. And in fact, I guess it's not that laughing a matter, because there will be people out there who will take it seriously. Again, and the notion, for example, that has been expressed by some that Congress will now pick up the reins. Hold on there, partner. Pick up what reins? Prosecuting? That's not a congressional responsibility. No, prosecuting is for the executive branch, the Justice Department. That Congress can't hand out a lot of punishment. Oh, they can hold people in contempt of Congress, although the last one I recall was Eric Holder. We all remember all the years that Eric Holder spent behind bars. So that one's not taken too seriously by a lot of people. But that's about it, really. And seriously, what's the only path left for the Democrats? And we are headlong into the 2020 campaign. Even Joe Biden's going to get in the race here probably next Wednesday. What is left for them? Really, there's one word: impeachment. The I word, impeachment. 311 on 106.3 WORD. And yet, what are we hearing from the hotshot leaders, the Nancy Pelosi's and her mini-me, Steny Hoyer? What are we hearing from these people? No, impeachment, that doesn't seem to be a political reality. Well, I grant you, it was never a political reality. When did that ever stop the Democrats, for Pete's sake? The history, by the way, on impeachment, if you haven't followed it closely, there have been two presidents who've been impeached. Andrew Johnson, following Abraham Lincoln, who was not convicted, came within a vote, but he wasn't convicted. And, of course, Bill Clinton, who was impeached, but not convicted. That didn't even get within a vote. And that's it. That's the total. Now, yes, true, Richard Nixon would have been impeached and would have been convicted slam dunk. But he resigned first, which takes us to Donald Trump. Now, you may remember how Bill Clinton's term was cut short because of his impeachment. Oh, that's right. He served the full 8 years. Yeah, he was a little embarrassed toward the end there. Can't imagine why. But he served the full 8 years. Donald Trump will serve the full 8 years, even if the House votes impeachment. And I still think that ultimately they will. I really do. I think that we're hearing, I'm not sure if it's indecision or game playing on the part of Pelosi and Hoyer and others who can actually call the shots. But I think in the end, I think you will see voices like, for example, Alexandria Ocasio-Braniak, who's talking still about impeachment. I suspect the House will bring up articles of impeachment. They will vote on them. Faced with that actual vote, the Democrats have the majority, and they'll vote unanimously to impeach, which takes us to the Senate, where it takes two-thirds of the Senate to convict. That is to say, all 47 Democrats, okay, and 20 of the 53 Republicans. Not okay. So that won't happen. There is no prospect whatsoever that we are going to see the end of the Trump presidency any sooner than January 20th of 2021 if he loses re-election, or January 20th of 2025 if he wins re-election. So just where are they going with all this? I don't know. And you know what? I'm not sure they know. But I swear to goodness, there's nothing left for them to do but to pursue the impeachment angle. Now, is that a risk? Boy, is that a risk. Oh, boy, is that a risk. But I don't see what else they can do. I really don't. I don't see what else they can do. It's not an easy time, frankly, to be a Democrat right now, honestly. I mean, I have a sympathy for them in a perverse kind of laugh-my-tail-off way. I have sympathy for them. I really do. We'll see where this all goes. But again, Jerry Nadler, of course, was subpoenaing the DOJ for the entire report. They want all the parts that they know are in there. They're in there. They're in there. We just can't see it. They want all the juicy parts that will convict this president of something, anything. Now then, you may ask, shouldn't a president be held accountable for questionable activity? Yes, and he will be. To the extent that you find things released in the Mueller report questionable, in fact, you get to decide. You get to decide in the primaries and caucuses and general election next year. And you're the only ones. Jerry Nadler does not get to decide. Adam Schiffless does not get to decide. And Robert Mueller does not get to decide. No, you will. Those are purely political questions. And if you think that the Mueller report shows bad behavior on the part of the president, I would say at times it showed questionable behavior, but nothing illegal. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD, and the time is 3:15. Yep. That's what we're doing, pinch hitting for the Bobster, who is probably out there. My guess is he was probably out there in the rain practicing his golf game. And considering his golf game, which is ordinarily, of course, he has a minus five handicap, averages 500 par. My guess is he was shooting about par today in the rain, probably. Anyway, 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station. Also, we're at 106.3WORD.com. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And glad to have you aboard this afternoon. Texter says, let's see here. Where? Boy, the texters are jumping out of the water today. Yo, Jimbo, who is financing the boob running against our president on the Republican side? The Koch brothers, Tom Sayre, who? Well, that would be William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts. He actually ran on the Libertarian ticket for vice president with Gary Johnson. I guess that was last time out, I believe, something like that. But he's re-registered as a Republican. I dare say that he has access to some money. I wouldn't know who. Haven't the faintest idea as to who it might be. Won't matter. There is still within the Republican Party some opposition to the president. Weld could very well carry a state or two. Home state of Massachusetts wouldn't surprise me. New Hampshire, I think he would do well in New Hampshire. He could get maybe 30, even 40% of the vote, possibly, in New Hampshire, his neighborhood state up there. But, I mean, Weld is just a minor little annoyance. John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio, and now, of course, with CNN. Kasich, he may get into the race. And you remember, of course, he was the last Republican to not give up the ghost the last time around, even after Ted Cruz had seen the inevitability and bailed out. And I don't think any way that Kasich can ignore the run. There's not that big of an anti-Trump vote, and with it split between Weld and Kasich, who would probably appeal to roughly the same demographic. You're talking about flies buzzing the head of an elephant here. So nothing certainly to worry about. Donald Trump's going to win the renomination. I'll be very curious as to who on the Democrat side. We'll talk some more about that now that Joe Biden himself is about to enter the race. We'll talk some more about what that may mean for the Democrats. But I can guarantee you what it means for talk show hosts. Run, Joe, run. Run, Joe, run. Open your mouth, Joe, and run. And I just dearly wish that she was not too young, that you could pick Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as your running mate. That would be worth the price of admission. Yes, it would. So, anyway, it's going to be fun to watch the total. Now, the first Democrats debate, I know you don't want to miss this, and I'll be honest with you, I don't. Not only is it homework, of course, for a talk show host, we pretty much need to be up on what these clowns are up to. So I'm going to be definitely tuning in. But if you want to put it on your old calendrical here, coming up at the end of June, Wednesday the 26th on MSNBC, will be the first Democratic presidential debate with half of the field. Half of the field, everybody with at least 1% in the poll standings. And I think they're going to choose them by lot, because the next night, Thursday the 27th of June, also on MSDNC, you will have the first Democratic debate, part two, the other half of the field, getting at least 1% of the polls. I'll be very curious to watch that race, and we're going to find out a couple of things. One, how far to the left will the Democrats really run? And I'm guessing that for a number of them, this is no joke. They're very serious. Yes, what used to be, of course, something to run away from. Remember how they all ran away from the L word? Liberal. No, I'm a progressive. And the only person back then is the number two of the current polls. The only one who ever was proudly a socialist was Bernie Sanders. Interviewed Bernie when he was a congressman from Vermont. That was back about, I guess, the year 2000, roughly-ish. And my first question to him was, aren't you really just a liberal Democrat? Oh, did he get angry? No, I'm a proud Democratic socialist. And then, of course, I quoted back to him his voting record and the voting records of Ted Kennedy and Barney Frank and a few people of his contemporaries back then. Of course, the voting records were identical. But he was proud of the term, Democratic Socialist, and really reluctantly became a quote, merely a Democrat. But now, of course, the party seems to be running to meet him. It'll be interesting to see if this field does, in fact, vie with each other to see how far to the left that they can go. And the next question that'll be interesting to see is, have the membership of the party, the Democrats themselves, move that far to the left overnight, virtually overnight. I mean, you go back just back to 2016, and you had Barack Obama, you had Hillary Clinton, all these people against reparations. Now they're all eagerly embracing the notion of liberations. I think that the leadership of the party, propelled by a media which would promote this sort of thing, I think that it has gone much further to the left than the rank-and-file Democrat, frankly, in this country, really. I'm not at all convinced that they have. And what's going to be interesting about that is to see how they react to the relative moderate in the field. Again, people are asking the question, Joe Biden, great guy, is he too moderate? Come on. They're asking that. They're really asking that. Jim and Easley gets a hold of the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307. 71307 says, Jimbo, my pup Roscoe's butt has a better chance to be president than Kasich does. LOL. Now, of course, if all of Roscoe ran, he would have a much better chance. But if it's just his butt runs, I would agree. Yeah, he would still have a better chance than Kasich. That's true. But as I said, Kasich and Weld, they'll get some votes. They won't come anywhere near enough to stop President Trump's renomination. But, I mean, each one could show up, I would think, at the Republican convention with a dozen or so delegates, you know, and they'll make a little noise. And, of course, they'll be the darlings of the media. And they'll undoubtedly make some kind of demands on the convention totally out of proportion to their actual presence there. And again, that'll get a lot of play with the media. But I just don't think that the Democratic Party as a whole has moved that far to the left. I really don't. I think the membership, oh, they're further left than I am, and they're further left than I would like the country to be. But I don't think that the whole country, that half of the country, or whatever percentage, has all leapt that far to the left. And I'll be very curious to see how that plays out with a Joe Biden. Again, as I've noted before, there was a survey taken of the U.S. Senate back, I think it was about 07. It was right before the 08 election. And they ranked every member of the Senate, all 100 members, by their voting, conservative or liberal. And because all these ratings groups, like the Americans for Democratic Action, which give high marks for liberality and low marks for being conservative, the American Conservative Union gives just the opposite. They give high marks for being conservative, low marks for being a liberal. They ranked all those numbers, which are readily available. And the three most liberal members of the Senate, number three, he was only number three. The bronze medal went to Barack Obama from Illinois. Silver medal went to Bernie Sanders of Vermont. And the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate in that survey, by their voting record, was Joe Biden. And now, unbelievable, now we're asking, is Joe too liberal? Only a dozen years later, I'm sorry, too moderate, only a dozen years later. Unreal, folks. Absolutely, totally unreal. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, and we have a call to take here when we come back in just a moment. Oh, shucks, he said self-deprecatingly. Good to have you with us this afternoon at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And indeed, the Ingalls Advantage talk line is right there for your dialing, 1-800-347-1063. James is in Taylor's. Hello, James, and welcome.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. And frankly, I'm looking more optimistic all the time, both about the end of this whole Russia probe and about the election.
I feel the same way you do. I just hope Bob didn't take today off to play golf.
No, I actually made that up. He didn't really take today off to play golf. Although, I don't know what he took today off for. I can guarantee you he didn't wind up playing golf. I can tell you that.
Well, a professional caddy will cost him $1,000 today.
I dare say.
But I did want to ask you this. I did want to get your opinion on this. Okay, we know the deception. We know the insanity of the left. We're just so familiar with it. It's just eating us up. Okay, when we come to 2020 and somehow these maniacs have found a way to, like, manipulate, like, Florida and Broward County or whatever it is. Let's just say they say they win. What are me and you going to do about it? What are me and you and the people of Greenville going to do about it? Because I'm standing up. I will not. This isn't going to go. Their way of anything against the Constitution, I'm just wondering how many. I know all my friends are with me, and we're all saying the same thing. I mean, how long can the Democrats play this infantile game until enough of people like you, me, Bob, Greenville, get really upset and start wearing shirts that say CWP? You don't own me. CWP, you don't own me. I mean, don't get in my face. You're going to really regret it. Jimbo, what do you think? I mean, what if they kind of pull that crap and say, oh, no, no, we won the election. It's all up to Florida. Yep. Oh, we win. What would we do?
Well, first of all, for them to win is one thing. For them to actually go about doing all the things they would like to do is something else again. I'm not at all sure that they could get anything close to the vote necessary to go after, for example, in your example, guns or completely nationalize health care, open the borders completely to everybody who wants to wander in and out. I don't think that they could do that. Even if they were to elect a president, you would still have a significant number of Republicans, and reliable Republicans on many of these issues, in the House and the Senate. And so you simply fight a rearguard action. You simply delay. You simply hold back. Yes, you obstruct, but legally you obstruct their activities. For them to actually want to do this, and even to win a few positions, is one thing. But for them to win enough to make all of that happen, I find that very unlikely, frankly, James. And let's not forget that President Trump has been appointing a lot of judges. There are still a few out there I wouldn't care to have, but it hasn't gotten a lot of coverage. But there are a lot of judges out there. More than a few of these things will run smack into a fairly conservative judiciary in some instances.
I have to believe in you, Jimbo. I'll take it for that.
Well, I appreciate it. And if I'm wrong, of course, I will, like any good talk show host, pretend that this never happened. So,
we'll just play a round of golf, and I'll take you for 100.
Fair enough. There you go, James. And believe me, it wouldn't be easy
okay,
to take.
Okay, brother. Have a good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Same to you. Absolutely, sir. James and Taylor. Yeah, absolutely. Boy, I once had a golf game. It was terrible, but now it's even below terrible. Bobby Mack's actually pretty good. But enough about golf. Absolutely. We have another station you can call in to talk about golf. Let's just simply say that I think that you would find, ironically enough, this would be a true irony. Let's assume the worst-case scenario, that they beat Trump in 2020. They keep the House, and they take the Senate. And by the way, I'll come back to the Senate in a moment, but that's not that implausible. You would still find more and more federal judges, and this doesn't get a lot of coverage, but more and more judges are, in fact, being named by the president, and more judges, in fact, are getting confirmed, especially now that we're moving toward a confirmation process with more of a nuclear option behind it. You're going to see more and more judges who I think will wind up actually being in the front lines of protecting the Constitution, which I'll grant you, after recent years, would be quite a switch when in recent years the bureaucracy, the media, and the judiciary were the principal pushers to undermining the Constitution. Now, as regards the Senate, of course, in 2018, Democrats had a lot of seats to defend, a lot of seats to defend. I think it was like 25-8, something like that. And of course, they wound up losing seats. Not as many as they might have, but they lost some, and Republicans now have that 53-47 margin. The story in the Senate in 2020 is going to be different. In 2020, for one thing, you saw that the Republicans first to take control of the Senate back in 2014. And so that a lot of those senators are coming up for re-election for the first time. There are more Republicans than Democrats up for re-election in 2020. That could happen. In which case, of course, you would see Donald Trump issuing a whole slew, lot more vetoes. But again, right now, I'll with the actual vote counting still quite a ways off, I'm willing to sit back and just say I wouldn't really care to be a Democrat right now, not only from the standpoint of logical consistency and looking myself in the mirror, but from the standpoint of what do they do? What do they do? Let's not forget how much faith they put in the Mueller report. With the Mueller report, we're going to get him. With the Mueller report, we're going to nail him to the wall. With the Mueller report, we're going to prove he broke all these laws. With the Mueller report, comma, fill in the blank. You can hear the air being slowly let out of their balloon. And now they just have the fact that they don't like a lot of stuff in there. I mean, it's remarkable. Some of the things, frankly, that have come out of all of this, I gotta tell you that I have heard some things in my life that are bizarre, but not many as bizarre as some of the stuff that frankly has come out after the Mueller report was finally revealed. And again, any way you spin it, the fact remains that it just did not do them any good. It just didn't do them a lot of good. And so what are they saying? Well, Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, whether these contacts were sufficiently illicit or not to rise to the level of a criminal conspiracy, they are unquestionably dishonest, unethical, immoral, and unpatriotic and should be condemned by every American. Well, that's your view, Adam, and you're welcome to it. It's a free country still. But that isn't up to you to decide. No, I'm sorry. Just as the Justice Department is only there to decide what is or is not a violation of federal law, it is not up to you. You are not the National Morality Police either, Adam Schiff, thank goodness. It is not up to you to decide. It is up to the public, and the public will, trust me on this, the public will, through all of the caucuses and all of the primaries and the general election in 2020, will decide if, in fact, the Mueller report or any other source of information says things about our president that would point to him being unquestionably dishonest, unethical, immoral, or unpatriotic. And we'll see, in fact, how many Americans do condemn whatever is revealed. We'll see. We'll see. But that's not up to you, Adam Schiff, and that's got to just grind you in the gut. I'm telling you, it's not a good time to be a Democrat. And this, of course, is merely their dealings with Donald Trump. How about their dealings with each other? They have not decided just exactly where they're going yet. You've had open sniping between Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Pelosi telling Face the Nation, you know, about all those on the left. Well, there are only about five of them. I mean, she's not pleased with this group. Not a good time to be a Democrat. Let's all say aw. All right, Jimbo for Bobby Mack. Time is 3:45. Okay, I accept the challenge. Thank you very much. I will be your candidate for fill-in host here at 106.3 WORD. A few others do this as well, but oh, what the hey. It is always fun. I enjoy the opportunity and the chance to chat with y'all. Again, I look at what the Democrats face right now, and I don't see how in the world it is possible for the Democrats to proceed without going down the impeachment road. Seriously. Let's assume for the moment that you are rabidly left-wing and you just hate the very ground Donald Trump walks on. How do you just sit there and say, Mueller report, oh, well, how can you do that? That's sort of what we're hearing right now. I mean, some of the things that we're hearing are just rather bizarre. But Pelosi doesn't sound interested. Steny Hoyer, her number two, her mini-me. Doesn't sound interested. And even Nadler has admitted it's not a political likelihood. Maybe they won't, but then what do? You just hold a lot of hearings and you huff and you puff and you hope that'll blow their house down, they, the Republicans? Is that it? That's pretty pathetic. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I were a dyed-in-the-wool, rabid left-wing Democrat, I think it's what I'd want to do if I were a dyed-in-the-wool rabid left-wing Democrat and I also stopped to be rational and reasonable about this and what's likely to work. Maybe I would do just what it looks like they're going to do. Maybe I would just simply huff and puff, issue a lot of subpoenas. Because when you go down that impeachment road, that can be a very double-edged sword. Republicans didn't do too well when they went after Bill Clinton. And Clinton's popularity, the election results were such that the public is not really interested in using impeachment. Even in the case, obviously, of Clinton, you did have a person who, in fact, had committed perjury. That is to say, lying under oath. That's what it is. And it still didn't go over. And the Democrats really don't have anything, really, to go on. Maybe this is the best they can do. But between the fact that they don't seem to have whatever it was that they thought was their silver bullet to get Donald Trump, and the fact that you've got all kinds of divisions within the Democratic Party, this is not a good time. And I know that a lot of them have been saying, you know, we're going to really get this guy, and they have firmly believed it, that they're going to do the trifecta in 2020. Keep the House, take the Senate, both of which are doable, and win the presidency. And depending on who they nominate and how some things may or may not change, like the economy and foreign affairs and the like, that's certainly doable. The trifecta was not out of reach. But it's almost as if they are in the process of doing everything in their power to see to it that they don't win. It's really kind of bizarre. Really kind of bizarre. Honest to goodness. Hello, sir, says this texter. Is there a website that tells the average American how much foreign aid our government is giving away and to which country? Thanks, Anthony, in Simpsonville. Well, I don't know about a website, but you can probably Google it. It would be, I think, disappointing to a lot of people in terms of how much. It's far less than 1% of total federal expenditures. I know that a lot of people have to think it's 10, 15, 25%. No, it's not. It's a tiny amount. And I think it ought to be heavily scrutinized, the notion that we should give out no money when, in fact, there are people out there we would much prefer to have in power than other people. Sometimes it's a wise investment. Sometimes it's not. But anyway, this is not a good time to be a Democrat. I swear to goodness, it really isn't. And I am, I don't know what else you could call some of the efforts that they're making. One person is now referring to Jerry Nadler's subpoena as grandstanding, and I suppose that's fair. That's fair enough. Making a lot of noise about nothing in particular, and trying for attention that is not really warranted. Honest to goodness, I think that the political grandstanding is pretty much what we're talking about here. Deputy White House. White House Press Secretary Hogan Gidley has said that this is just political grandstanding, and they note no matter what we give him, he would still want something more. That's true. And he goes on to add that Democrats have nothing to talk about. They don't want to talk about their agenda, about making America socialist, making their agenda of infanticide or the Green New Deal that would destroy this country's economy. No, they would rather talk about this president. Well, and then he goes on to say it's absolutely ridiculous. Well, if you really don't have anything else to talk about, maybe it's not ridiculous. I don't know. I think if I were, again, try to put yourself in their shoes. If you were in their shoes and what you had to talk about was the infanticide and the Green New Deal, or this president, who'd you rather talk about? If you were a Democrat, well, I would much rather talk about this president. And let's face it, it's not hard to dislike Donald Trump. It's not hard to dislike Donald Trump. Serious. I mean, it's really not. So maybe that's the smartest move they can make. As lame as what they have going is, it's entirely possible that this is, in fact, the best possible course available to them. We'll see how the public feels about all this. And, of course, it's always tricky to tell just exactly what the public has in mind and how much of the public pays attention. And by the public, I'm not talking about you folks. Let's not forget the people who listen to a program like this at a station like 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, are people who are quite involved. They are aware. They are knowledgeable. They follow this stuff. You got to remember, all the people you know, some of the folks at work and some of your relatives with the cotton candy stuck between their ears, they're not following all this stuff. I mean, you would probably be amazed if you were to just walk down the streets of Greenville or any other of the communities in our area and just pick 100 people at random and simply say, Mueller report, what do you think? A substantial number would not know what you were talking about. No, I'm serious. You got to keep that in mind. And these people vote. Fortunately, not as much as people who are informed. That's one positive fact about our entire system in this country, is that the more informed you are, the more likely you are to vote. But still, there's a percentage of them who do. And there are an awful lot of votes cast in this country by people who, in fact, could seriously answer, Mueller report, what's that? Okay? And you know them. You're probably related to some of them, okay? And I'll bet you work with some of them if you still have a job. But wherever you go, with whomever you socialize, there are such people out there. And those are the ones that we've got to worry about. For them, sloganeering carries a lot of weight. For those people, free anything, even though it's not really free, is very attractive. So don't underestimate the power of the message these people have, as bankrupt as it may be. And don't think that we can win just by simply saying, they're all a bunch of socialists. There are Americans out there right now who would say, and more than ever, Americans who would say, okay, let's give that a try. Now, 3 minutes before 4 o'clock, Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.